Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you've missed any past programs and you'd like to catch up with something that you might have missed in the past, you can always do that. Our podcasts are available at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com. That goes for this program and all of the programming that's here on KPCG. Well, we live in an age of fake news. Fake news. You've probably heard that more times than you would have liked to, but that's the age in which we live. News and information that, in a lot of cases, just isn't true, or it's misleading. To find truth, we must study the Bible. We have to study the Bible if we really want to find the truth on anything. That foundational knowledge and information is in the Bible. God instructs us in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 to prove all things. And then we are told to hold on to what is true. So God doesn't expect us to just believe any old thing. He says, look, prove it. Prove all things. And then when you find the truth, hang on to it. Hold on to it. And the wonderful thing about the truth of God is that it doesn't change. The truth doesn't change. Let's notice a passage in Acts 17. These are some passages that are probably fairly familiar, but they're really worth looking at and considering. And if you have a Bible handy, please get that out, and we can look at these passages together and prove all things, as 1 Thessalonians says. Acts 17 and verse 11, notice this. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so the context of this passage is that when the Apostle Paul came to Berea, which is located in Greece today, the people didn't know if he was preaching the truth or not. His message was different from what they had heard. They found it to be very interesting and different. And so they didn't know. They weren't sure if it was the truth or if it was something that wasn't true. So they had to look and diligently study to find out. They wanted to see if those things were so. But you notice the attitude here that they had. They had a ready mind. They had a ready mind. They received the word with all readiness of mind. And a ready mind means a mind that's willing to be taught. They were willing to be taught and to learn. Now, the meaning of ready here is an eager disposition, enthusiastically willing. Ready to go, free, not weighed down by pre-existing or preset objections or resistance. So they didn't have these ideas or thoughts that were predetermined in their minds and then tried to square what Paul was saying with those preset ideas. They were ready to learn. They were ready to be taught. They were willing to look and search the scriptures and see if those things were so. They weren't studying to disprove something. They were studying to prove something true. And if it wasn't true, it would have been apparent. But they had an attitude of really wanting to understand and to learn more about what Paul was teaching them. That was a mindset that they had. And with that readiness of mind, as we read, then they searched the scriptures on a daily basis. In other words, they had really outstanding Bible study. They searched the scriptures on a daily basis, not occasionally or once in a while. It was a daily basis. So they had a habit. And the Bereans, they set us a great example. They didn't just, say, begrudgingly study out of duty, to where they, felt like, well, we're supposed to, and they kind of went through the motions. They were eager to study. That's what it means by saying they had a ready mind, an eager disposition, really wanting to get after their study. They enjoyed it. They loved it. And they really got after it. the correspondence course, which is free at thetrumpet.com. If you don't have that, please sign up for it. It says this. It says, so study your Bible without prejudice, but be careful to prove all things as the Bereans did. Search the scriptures, whether those things be so. Read and study your Bible daily. Check up for yourself and see what it really does teach. Don't just assume that what you have always heard and believed is the truth of God. So it's very easy to assume, to think that we already know. How often have you heard someone, you know, speaking about the Bible say something to the effect of, well, the Bible says we're supposed to love everybody. Now, in principle, that's true, of course. God is love. And the love of God is that we keep his commandments. So, of course, we're supposed to love everybody, but what does that mean? See, there's a depth of understanding there. And sometimes people take that concept of love to mean that, well, anything goes. You know, if somebody were to point out a problem or a sin, they'd say, well, now, hang on, you're supposed to love everybody. Christ said love everybody. And assume that that just means anything goes, and people can do whatever they want. Well, no, the love of God is that we keep his commandments. So God has commandments, and they're not grievous, as the Bible says. So we don't want to just assume things, assume that we know, assume that we've always heard the right thing, and we just sort of know it. Even those that really do dig into their Bibles and study it, sometimes we can assume something, and it turns out we didn't understand it the right way. We have to be ready and willing to be taught. When Mr. Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong, was first being called by God, he learned that he had to stop assuming that he knew the truth. It was a lesson that he had to learn. This is a little bit from his autobiography. And again, that's free also at thetrumpet.com. Really fascinating quotes here. And he was being called by God and really digging into his study. He says, I had always assumed the existence of God because I had been taught it from childhood. I had grown up in Sunday school. I simply took it for granted. And now suddenly I realized I had never proved whether there is a God. Since the existence of God is the very first basis for religious belief and authority, and since the inspiration of the Bible by such a God as his revelation to mankind is a secondary and companion basis for faith and practice, I realized that the place to start was to prove whether God exists and whether the Holy Bible is his revelation of knowledge and information for mankind. See, he wasn't against the idea of God. He just, you know, assumed that God existed because he'd been told that. But here he was really forced to prove the truth for himself. The most basic things. He had to prove if God even existed in the first place. He realized that he had assumed a lot. But he was willing to get in there and learn. And study like the Bereans did, to where they really had a readiness of mind. And he had to let go of those pre-existing thoughts, let go of those prejudices, those assumptions. And if you continue reading in Mr. Armstrong's autobiography, he explains how he came to prove God's existence and prove that God's word is true. So he did. He followed through and he proved those things. And a lot of what he discovered is recorded there in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence course, you know, where you can go to the scriptures and you can prove things. Now, Mr. Armstrong had to do that, and he didn't have a course like that to use, so he had to really dig into everything he could get his hands on, every book about certain subjects, and of course, religion and the Bible, and really prove the truth. Now, Mr. Armstrong's experience there was so unique because he didn't just believe whatever other people said about the Word of God. You know, he got, again, he was looking into evolution as an example, and he got books on it that covered every angle of it. He didn't just go into it believing one thing and then try to, you know, find information that would uphold that belief. He really got in there and studied it. And, of course, he found that it wasn't true. And he found that God's existence is true. He had to really dig in there. He couldn't just assume or just take other people's words for it. He had to study. And he actually studied deeply into it for himself. And, of course, God was educating him through that process. God was calling him in a special way. You might recall, if you're familiar with that history, Mr. Armstrong's wife challenged him on the Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath. And Mr. Armstrong assumed that the Bible says keep Sunday. And so he looked into it. Again, another assumption. It's something that he had always heard. He grew up, you know, hearing that. And so he assumed, well, if all the churches do it, certainly that's what the Bible says. But he never looked into it for himself. Here's another quote from his autobiography. He said, "From the exhaustive concordances, I soon learned that the command I sought, thou shalt keep Sunday, was nowhere to be found in the Bible. In fact, the word Sunday was not used in the Bible. That surprised me." He was surprised. He assumed that it was there. Many people assume that the Bible says something, and it may not actually say that. The point is, how much do we assume we know about God's Word? And we have to be careful to not assume, but to really look into the Word of God with diligent study. And of course, as we talked about there with the Bereans, this doesn't mean to be skeptical or try to disprove something. You know, if you hear something or read something, it doesn't mean you automatically say, well, I don't believe any of that. You know, okay, well, let's take a look. Maybe there's some truth to it, maybe not. But study to find out. Study to find out the truth. Search the Scriptures daily with all readiness of mind to prove God's truth true and understand it more deeply. You know, if something's clearly false, there's no reason to sit there and spend a lot of time looking at it. And once you've proven something true, then it's true. You don't have to keep going back and reproving it. But it's good to, of course, keep our minds refreshed and make sure that we're, again, not just assuming things. So following Mr. Armstrong's example, the Bible Correspondence Course is called the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course because, again, he was used by God to really uncover some of those truths of the Bible. God was opening his mind, and he diligently studied. And this course is intended to show you where to look in your Bible for the verses relating to the subject that you're studying. And that is why it's important to look up the Scriptures if you're going through that course. And we cover some of that on this program. Look at the Scriptures and see it for yourself. Now, some of you might remember this old show. It was a kid's show. It was called The Reading Rainbow. I don't know if you remember that, but it was a show for kids, and they would talk about different books that kids could read, and the host would always tell the audience, you know, here are some great books, but don't take my word for it. In other words, you know, go read it for yourself. Don't just say, oh yeah, that was a good book, but go read it. Enjoy it for yourself. And we have to have that same sort of thinking when it comes to God's Word. You know, don't just believe it because somebody said it, or it sounds right, or you think it might be right. Get in there and look at it. Make sure that you understand it. Make sure that you prove it. Look at the truth of God and really study into it. So how do we do that? How do we develop some of those good Bible study habits like the Bereans had? Well, one practical way is to set aside a certain period of time every day for our Bible study and try to do it in the same location. Now, there's time and scheduling issues sometimes that come up for different people depending on what they're doing. But again, a great practice is to start the day off with prayer and study. Get the day off in the right way with prayer and study. Certainly praying and then studying, hopefully too, if there's time. In the Bible, you see this principle of starting early in our contact with God, before we have contact with people, before we have contact with our day-to-day schedules and get into those. Starting the day with contact with God. Let's notice a few of these examples. Here's one in Genesis 19 and verse 27. Genesis 19 and verse 27. "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Eternal." So Abraham, of course, was faithful. He followed God, and here's his example. He got up early in the morning and he went to the place where he stood before the Eternal. We need to get up early in the morning and go to the place where we pray and study, you know, where we draw close to God. We have to do that. Abraham did it early in the morning, and he set us a great example in that. Here's another example. This is Exodus 24 and verse 4, talking about just some good Bible study principles. And Moses, it says, wrote all the words of the Eternal and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. So here again, Moses doing the same thing that Abraham did. He got up early in the morning. And notice what else he did. He wrote all the words of the Eternal. God was giving him words and he wrote them down. Of course, he wrote down some of the books there in the beginning of the Bible. And so what an example for us. Now, we have Bibles today, but if you write down the scriptures as you're going through your study, especially with this course, it helps that Word of God become more etched into your mind. Writing those things down, the kings, they did the same thing. They'd write all the law there, and because they had to use it, they had to study it, and it helped them. Especially if they followed it, sometimes they weren't the best examples, but it was there for them to follow. So Moses wrote all the words down, and he got up early in the morning. Notice this example, perfect example here of Christ in Mark 1 and verse 35. Mark 1 and verse 35, it says, Christ rose up a great while before day. And, of course, that was to pray and to draw close to his Father. A great while before day. I mean, Christ was busy. He had a lot to get done in his 3.5-year ministry. And, of course, he was in this habit even before then. But he had a lot to do, and he was very busy. And sometimes it's easy for people to think, well, you know, I'm a little busy. It's hard to get that in. Well, nobody was more busy than Christ was. Nobody's life was more serious than Christ was in terms of what he had to do and the jobs that he had to accomplish, and he had to be perfect in it, and everything was riding on his shoulders. He was very busy, but he knew he couldn't be successful without going and drawing close to his Father every day in prayer and, of course, in Bible study. Those are things that we need. Those are some of the ways that we can really develop those Bible study habits like the Bereans had. Every day, set aside the same time if you can. Go to the same location if you can, where it's private, where it's quiet, where you can focus, where you can have time with God, and develop that habit every day. You know, the days have lots of different events that occur. And sometimes we don't, you know exactly what's going to befall us that day. Some days are kind of standard, but some days are different. You've probably had experiences like that where something came up during the day and you had no idea it was going to happen or develop that way, and maybe a major test or a trial, and something came up. Well, we have to be ready every single day for something to come up that maybe we don't expect. But if we're close to God, we've drawn close to God, started the day off on the right foot, as they say, then we're going to be ready for whatever the day brings. Sometimes people use the expression that somebody got up on the wrong side of the bed. You know, they're a little cranky or grumpy that day. And we shouldn't have that problem, because even if we happen to wake up on, quote unquote, the wrong side of the bed, well, right away we should be into our prayer and study and get our mind set right. That's something we have to really strive to do as God's people. There's a lot more examples than what we touched on today about studying and praying and drawing close to God. But I think just considering Abraham and Moses and Christ and their examples, they got up early for the express purpose of drawing close to God. And, I mean, you can think about Moses, too. He was pretty busy, wasn't he? I mean, he had an entire nation that was following him, the nation of Israel, all those tribes, and lots of people that he had to deal with, he had to work with. Things would come up, and decisions would have to be made. He drew close to God so that he could have the help that he needed to properly deal with those situations, those are the examples that we're looking to. Abraham, Moses, Christ. You can look at others, of course. Those were just a few that that were picked for this program. The correspondence course says this. It says, we recommend that you spend at least 30 minutes a day studying the Bible with this course. So if you're going through this course, spending about 30 minutes a day will be great. And it's amazing how quickly you can begin to get through some things, how much headway you can make. It's easy to look at the course or look at a book that you're studying or look at the Bible and think, wow, there's a lot here. This is going to take a while. Well, chip away at it every single day and you make a lot of headway and learn a lot, at least 30 minutes a day. And if you're not in the habit of doing it, that seems like a lot. But once you get into the habit of it, it goes very quickly. And an hour is a great goal to strive for if you can. And so sometimes we have to cut back on some of the distractions in life. And again, we can say, well, we're pretty busy today. Yeah, but Abraham was busy. And Moses was busy. And Christ was busy. They were busier than we'll probably ever be in our lives because of the responsibilities that they had. And they knew they couldn't survive and they couldn't be successful without that early contact with God every single day. So when we look at those examples, and you can think of others too, I'm sure, but when you look at Abraham, and you look at Moses, and you look at Christ, and you look at the example of the Bereans there in Acts 17, those are great examples for us to follow. And God has revealed a lot of truth today through his apostles. And there's a lot to learn and a lot to study. We have to make time to do it. Make sure we follow that instruction in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Prove all things. Prove them. Spend time getting into the Word of God. Prove all things and then hold on to it. Don't let it slip. And if we do that, if we can emulate the example of the noble Bereans and really dig into our study of God's Word, we're going to grow and develop more and more of that wonderful character of God. And in so doing, we're going to be ready to help teach other people to do the same. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.